Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. Just a reminder that there are share and prayer cards in the seat backs. The design of those is so that if you would like to share something and don't want to necessarily raise your hand during the share and prayer time, you can fill one of those cards out and someone will be able to pray for you in different ways. So take a look at those if you'd like some prayer. Also, I guess this is more of an announcement, but I'll start off with it. Next, there's nothing in the bulletin about this, but March 8th is daylight savings time. And so next Sunday, set your clocks forward, or you might miss most of the service next week. So today, Lynn Miller will be sharing a message for us from the Gospel of John. Jesus tells his disciples that he has a new commandment for them, to love one another as he has loved them. Which is saying a lot, because this group of men were tough to love. In these chapters, Jesus is preparing to lead the disciples and knows that he will be arrested later the same night. And he says to them, "I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends." This must have been extremely powerful for the disciples, for this man, who they had spent years of their lives with, and who they were beginning to realize was the Son of God, telling them that they are no longer servants, but his friends. It is even more powerful when we remember how messed up this group of men were. And full disclosure, these are all character faults that I share with these men to one degree or another. Several disciples were caught up in petty rivalry and jockeyed for position with each other at his right hand. Most of his disciples held grudges against the religious leaders and each other, showing particular frustration with Matthew, the despised tax collector. Judas was most likely an insurrectionist and disagreed with what he might have called the passivity of the disciples. Thomas doubted, even after the resurrection. They were pretty thick-skulled, too. Jesus says to Philip at one point, "How could you have been with me so long and not know me?" On several occasions, Jesus pulls his disciples aside and starts with, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you." But it didn't matter. They were confused, and it was clear that Jesus was frustrated. And quite possibly the most powerful example was Peter. As passionate as he was, he would later disown Jesus three times. But he still loved them all and called them his friends. Jesus calls us friends too, and he commands us to move past bitterness, annoyances, and petty rivalry with each other and into genuine mutual relationships based upon love. To love as Jesus loved these disciples is a tall order, but it is what we are called to. It is a new commandment. Please greet one another and maybe an elbow, or I call a soul pound, might be appropriate, but I'll leave it up to you guys. And if you have an announcement, please come forward.
Good morning. In August, there's an MCC bike ride, and some of the churches in the different areas are providing one meal, evening meal of the week, and I was wondering if anybody here would like to get together and make a meal for one night of the ride. Right now, there aren't that many riders. There's only about 40 riders, and it's. But the problem is that we got to go down to Albany to put it together. So if you're interested, come and talk to me. And again, it's a few months off. You can plan on it, and we'll have fun. Thanks.
I would like to introduce Bill Blank and Julie, our new interim pastor. And he's just going to say a little bit about himself. And he'll be starting on Tuesday, and he'll be in the office Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays, and working from home on Wednesdays.
Good morning. Yes, my name is Bill. I'm going to ask Julie to stand so you get to see her. She won't appreciate that, but I sure do. It is good to be here. I am looking forward to just walking alongside you for this interim time. And one thing that I've learned is that during transitions, and it's transitions in church, it's transitions in life, during transitions, God can show up in amazing ways that we've never imagined. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you and seeing how God is at work in and through you. And I'm also looking forward and kind of a little excited about seeing how God is going to work during this interim time, maybe even in ways that we didn't even expect. So it's good to be here. I'm looking forward to just jumping in and being with you. Bill and Julie Blank, thank you.
Now for our call to worship. Come, let us worship Almighty God.
Let us lift up our songs, our prayers, our praise.
Come, let us honor Christ Jesus.
Let us love Christ with our hearts, our minds, our spirits.
Come. Let us be filled with the Spirit of the living God.
Breathe in us, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Lord, remind us of the agape love that you have shown us countless times throughout human history, and especially through your Son, Jesus. Today and every day, remind us that you have called us your friend and help us to live with that profound understanding. Amen. Charlie?
Please stand with me and sing number 16 in the blue book. Number 16, stand if you can. Thanks.
Thank you.
420. Now turn with me to 307. 307.
Thank you.
It's time for our offering, so I'd like to invite the ushers up. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may we love our neighbors both near and far with the sharing of our tithes and our offerings. Amen. Children, you're invited to come forward for the children's service or the children's story.
You guys might have heard it's the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent is a special time that we prepare for Easter, celebrating when Jesus rose from the grave. So I have a special story because we're talking about, this is a special story about Jesus and what he did that's showing love. Okay, so here goes. This is one of our storybook Bibles that we brought from home. So it's kind of beat up, but I'll do my best to make sure everyone sees the pictures, okay? Okay, here we go. 1 second. Jesus and his friends were having the Passover meal together in an upstairs room. But Jesus' friends were arguing. What about? They were arguing about stinky feet. Yeah, stinky feet. Now, the thing about feet back then was that people didn't wear shoes. They only wore sandals if they could afford them, which might not sound unusual, except that the streets in those days were dirty. And I don't mean just dusty dirty. I mean really stinky dirty. With all the cows and horses everywhere, you can imagine the stuff on the street that ended up on their feet. So someone, when it was custom, when you went into a house, you would take off your sandals and there would be someone that would wash your feet, maybe a servant. But it was kind of a dreadful job. And who on earth would ever volunteer to do that? Only the lowliest servant. And the disciples said, I'm not a servant. I'm not going to wash your guys' feet. But quietly, Jesus got up from the table. Here he is. Took off his robe, picked up the water, and knelt down and started to wash all of his friends' dirty feet. You can't, said Peter. He didn't understand about Jesus being a servant king and showing us how to love that way. One by one, Jesus washed everybody's feet. I'm doing this because I love you, Jesus explained. Now do this for each other. Now, can I see it by show of hands? Who has been to the beach before? That's one of my favorite places. Right. So, have you ever put your hands in the sand and felt it and then lifted it up and it fell through your fingers? And see all the tiny little grains? It feels so cool. And if you put a bunch of sand, a clump of sand, under a microscope, you might see that there's lots of tiny little pieces, so many in all the beach. And the Bible says that God thinks about us as many times as those grains of sand are in the ocean or in the on the beach. So I just want you guys to know Jesus loves you so much. And I was thinking, what would you guys like? I was trying to think about trying to be a servant. What would you guys like today? And here, I brought you guys in this little basket. I brought you guys a little treat because I knew you guys might like that to take back. And then you guys, with permission from the grown-up you're here with, you can open them and enjoy them, okay? So let's pray really quick. Can you fold your hands? Okay. Thank you, Lord, for each one of the little ones here today. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless them and give us wisdom to raise them up in your truth and your way, Lord. We love you and thank you for being a servant to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you guys can come.
Our scripture reading for today comes from John 13 and John 15. John 13, 31 through 35. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once."
My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
And from John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
Lynn?
Some of you are probably wondering why this old crow is up here this morning and haven't heard that Jana, who has been scheduled in your bulletin to be preaching this morning, is ill. So I'd like us to just take a moment and pray for her. And as we pray, if you would, silently pray for me, would you? Let's pray. Lord, we just pause to ask you to bless Jana with good health again. We thank you for her ministry here among us. And now we pray that as she lingers and deals with this virus or whatever it is, that you would touch her body and bring strength and healing. We know you care about her as we do, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by asking a few how do you tell questions. When I was a kid, a long time ago, we used to go to people and say, how do you tell the difference between an elephant and a broom? And they'd say, I don't know. And we'd say, well, I'd sure hate to sell you to send you to the store to buy a broom. How do you tell an Amish baby? You look at the tummy for a hook and eye, right? How do you tell a teenager? Well, you don't. They tell you. How do you tell a Christian? That's the question for today. How do you tell a Christian? Some pious look, some distinctive dress, some sober look of looking, or maybe how they carry their Bible. How do you tell a Christian? Last week, we heard a powerful message from Frank, setting the stage for our series, as you see here, We Behold His Glory. I think we did that as we heard the words of Jesus. And I believe that as we go through this series, we'll behold more of His glory. I hope we will. From John chapters 13 through 18, as you see in your bulletin, a recording of the words, the actions of Jesus as he prepared himself and his disciples for his crucifixion. I don't need to remind you that we live in a very violent, hate-filled world. We see it all the time around us, and we hear it on the news and wherever. I heard a 50-some-year-old say, well, I don't care if he treats me like that dirt, then I'm going to give him dirt too. That's pretty much the mood of our world today. But Jesus has a very, very different way, the way of love. And that's our message for this morning. Jesus begins by saying in our text today, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified with him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Five times in those couple of verses, the word glory or glorified appears. And I said to myself, what is this? Jesus preparing himself for crucifixion, for death, and he's talking about glory and glorification. I'm hopeful that during these series of messages that we hear from this gospel, we'll have a better understanding of what Jesus means by that. How can crucifixion be glorious? It seems so, doesn't fit. Then Jesus goes on and says, well, let me first give you the paraphrase that Peterson gives for that text, the one I just read. Peterson paraphrases it. The moment God is seen in him, that's Jesus, God's glory will be made on display. In glorifying him, He himself is glorified. Glory all around. I like that. Glory all around. And then Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Love, agape one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Wow. As Jesus loves you, you are to love each other. It's amazing, isn't it? Reminds me of a Russian comedian that came to our country. And as you've often have heard, when people come, they often are amazed at our supermarkets. And this guy went into the supermarket and down the aisle and comes to a box that said powdered milk. Just add water and milk. Go a little further and find another box that says powdered orange juice. Just add water, orange juice. He goes a couple of aisles down, finds another container, baby powder. Wow, this is an amazing country. Well, aside from that joke, let me just say that there's something amazing, very amazing, about the love of Jesus. It's not just everyday kind of love that you and I experience. It's divine love, and we'll get to that in a minute. Jesus says, love as I love you. And then he tells us, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. That's how you tell a Christian, by how they love one another. So, if we're not loving, does that mean we're un-Christian? I'm not a whiz at English, and you know that already, but I did a little research on this word. It's called this word love. It's called a transitive verb. Sometimes it's used as a noun. Here it's used as a verb, a transitive verb, which means it has a direct object. And that object, of course, is another. We are to love another. This word is a word of action. Word that puts flesh into action into this. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Action. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in him. Love each other as I have loved you. There it is again. To love and to obey go hand in glove. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus says, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. So love is very tangible, very real. It's action. William Shakespeare echoed the words of Jesus, I think, when he said, they do not truly love who do not show that love. John later wrote in 1 John 3, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with actions and truth. Jesus is, of course, the supreme, ultimate example of this agape love, this selfless love. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. And John again echoes that. He loves us first. We love him because he loved us first. Don't think for a moment that Jesus loved only in a human way, human love. He loves us with a divine love. And of all things, imagine this. God grants that divine love to you and me. When we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit, into our lives, God lavishes his love upon us and we become his children. Or another place in Romans 5, it says, God pours out his Spirit on us You poured out this love into our heart. God loves us so much that he actually died for us. Greater love has no one than this, that he dies for his friends. Jesus didn't just preach about love. Jesus lived love. He demonstrated love. Jesus went up and down the alleys, the streets, the byways, expressing and showing this love to the outcasts, to the down and outers, the beggars, the needy, the hurting, the people with broken relationships. He loved them all. And then, in return, do you know what he got? He got the cross. Nailed to a cross. He had been flogged, beaten, been mocked, spit upon, and now he hangs nailed to the cross. And humanly we would say, God, curse these people. They're murderers. Remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. That is divine love, is it not? He demonstrates his love with his compassion, his care, his forgiveness. Well, I could go on and on. We could spend a long time talking about the love of God and the love of Jesus. But I thought maybe it might be helpful for us to just hear some examples. And now the Bible is full of examples. Think about Joseph, or the story of David and Jonathan, or the story of David and Mephibosheth, Naomi and Ruth, the New Testament, stories of Jesus, and the stories that Jesus told, like the prodigal son and his father. The book of Acts, the stories of the missionaries, stories of love. And love is eternal. It's not just something that happened in Bible times. It goes on. Let me share with you some of the ways it goes on. Those of you that are my age probably remember some 50, 60 years ago when five missionary were killed down in Ecuador. Out of the love that Jesus has placed in their heart, they went to take this love to these people, were misunderstood, and ended up being murdered. A couple years later, two of their widows, Elizabeth Elliot and Rachel Saint, went back to those people. Can you imagine? Back to the murderers of their husbands. Again, sharing the love of Jesus. And some of those very murderers became followers of Jesus because they shared the love. Power, divine love. Myron Ogsberg tells the story of his wife's family, the Nis family. Esther was born and raised in India, where her parents were missionaries. In the mission community, they hired other people to help them. And one of the people they hired was Suti, the cook. And one of the requirements that they had was, as the missionaries gathered each morning for morning prayers, these assistants that were hired were required to attend those. Suti resented that. She protested it. She was a Hindu. She didn't want to be with these Christians in their prayer time. So what did she do? Didn't have a toaster, but they toasted their bread over the open fire. So she put their bread over the hot coals before the morning prayer. When they came back, it was black, burned black. Well, the Nis family noticed that, but decided together to not say anything, to not argue, protest. Several weeks went by. Each morning, burned toast. Finally, Suti said, with tears in her eyes, "There's something different about your faith. I want to know about this, Jesus. I have been mean to you. I've mistreated you. You haven't said anything to me. I want to know about Jesus." And she became a follower. The power of God's love. But it doesn't just happen in the mission field. God's love happens anywhere God's people are. At home, for example. You've probably heard of Susanna Wesley, a remarkable woman. She demonstrated love in her home. In spite of many, many hardships, house burnt down twice. She gave birth to 19 children. 9 of them died in infancy. Can't imagine that. But she reached out of Jesus' love to her neighbors, invited them into her home, and it kept growing and growing. More and more people came to be with her on these Sunday afternoon gatherings until she had over 200 people. She became known then as the mother of Methodism. But of those 19, the 10 surviving children, she also showed lavish divine love upon. 2 of them you know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley. They still impact us Christians these many, many years later. Partly because Suzanne spent an hour each week with each of her 10 children. I don't know how in the world she could do that, but she did. The power of love, God's love. Then there's a story of Roger Hershberger. He just happened to be a classmate in college of mine. I didn't know this at the time. Probably happened after I knew him. Elaine Summers Rich tells this story in the Midnight World Review. A boy named Bob came to Grace Children's Home in Henderson, Nebraska. He was a very angry young man. Excuse me. He'd already been in 5 other institutions and over 8 foster homes. He wasn't in this home long until he attempted to run away. As I stormed out, as he says, of that cottage, Roger Hershberger, a young house parent from Kansas, Preston, Kansas, was 2 or 3 steps behind me. I didn't say, or he didn't say anything. He just kept following me. If I ran, he ran. If I slowed, he slowed. He just stayed right with me. Finally, I screamed at him, "Get out of my way. Get out of here and leave me alone. I can't do that, Robert." "Why not?" I fumed. "Because I love you." Not because he had to, not because it was rules. Because he loved me. This gentleman from Kansas broke through a barrier in my heart that no one else ever had. Instead of reacting to my rage with his rage, he met me with God's love. And Bob became a Christian, established a Christian home, and today, at the time of the writing at least, he worked with troubled teenagers in Lincoln, Nebraska. The power of God's love. How many of you know when Janice and I came here? Sorry. It was a hard time for us. Our teenage daughter didn't come here with us. She wouldn't come. Well, now, just in her family. I'm sorry. Just in her family are now part of the Albany congregation. Very involved. And you say, why? What happened? I'll tell you why. Because of God's love. Just knows she experienced as a child a love from the people at Albany, as a teenager, and now as an adult. There's power in God's love. You will know you're Christians by your love. When people love as Jesus loved, powerful things happen. And Jesus challenges us then, love one another as I have loved you. May God help us to do that.
Maybe you know the song that we're going to sing, or you figured it out. They'll know we are Christians by our love. As we sing this song, maybe when we get to the chorus, think about who are the they in your lives. When they'll know we are Christians by our love, who's the they that you can be thinking about there? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other.